G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, have a look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Thank you, Jesus. So Romans 1 verse 16, give me an oi when you're there. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. We've been looking at this for a few weeks. This is our third week, and looking at this and looking at the issue of how to stay full of God all the time. And so I want to recap some things that we have talked about and then move on in this. It's important that, you know, we remember a lot of Christians have a roller coaster ride when it comes to their relationship with God. They're up and they're down, they're up and they're down, or they're in, they're out. And it's important to understand it's not God who's up and down. It's not God who's in and out, right? It's us. We choose at times to be excited or to be engaged, and we choose at times to disengage or to get distracted. There are times we can choose, or sometimes we just allow the situations we're in to just busy ourselves so much, and then soon we're just like, we haven't realized it, but it's been weeks since maybe we've read the word or spent time with God or done any of those things. And so consistency is a real key. If you want to stay full of God all the time, consistency is definitely a massive key. Hey, and the things we've been looking at, there are four things that we've been looking at, which are up there on the screen. We've looked at number one and two, and we're going to look at three today. If you develop routines, if you develop these into your daily routine, you will find you will stay full of God all the time. You know, where your experience can be constantly just moving up and up. There might be times where you're just up and then you plateau for a little bit and then you go up again, right? Or there may even be some times where you just dip a little bit, but you'll find that with these things, and I'll share, particularly with part four next week, I'll share about this. If you develop these into routines in your life, your downs will be very, very slight. You will find that your downs will be very, very minimal. It will not be like a roller coaster where you're just like up and then really down and up and down. If you have down times, right, and we all do get problems that arise, or we can get discouraged, or we can get a little bit, you know, like get confused, different things that can happen. But you, like, instead of that taking you right down into the depths where you just kind of like lose your way, you'll find if you develop these things into your personal routine, you'll find even your downs will be very, very small, very minimal. But your experience will be constantly going up. And that's certainly been my experience in talking about it. So I don't want you to think that I never have a down day. There are days where I can feel pretty blasé, I can feel pretty meh and stuff, but what the effect of that has on me is very minimal because these things are routine for me. And so it's awesome. You know, you can just continue to grow. And then you can be like Jess and Andrew, where they'll witness to the Jehovah Witness, you know. And they'll be like, you know, the Jehovah Witness will just be sitting there thinking like, I ain't got a chance here. They've got something like I don't have, you know. And that's an awesome thing. So these four things: glorify God, practice thankfulness, harness your imagination, and maintain a soft heart, come from the passage that we've just read. And you can see it there in verse 21. So the whole passage is talking about people that know about God, but they decide that they don't want to do what he has to say. And and you can actually read the whole chapter. It talks about how they gradually move away from God and they get into all sorts of depravity and so on. But it starts here in verse 20 and 21. It says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." There's no one who can say, right, who can say of sincerity in their heart, there is no such thing as God. There's no such thing as an atheist in reality. And that's what this scripture is saying. And then verse 21, it says, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." So that's how you get atheists. What happens is, even though they know God, they stop glorifying him as God. And then they become unthankful. And then soon they become futile in their thoughts, or their imagination becomes depraved and twisted. And we're going to be talking about that one particularly today. And then finally their hearts become darkened or hardened, right? So it's actually showing a process by which people move away from God. I know when I started sharing that, like, the Lord put it on my heart to do this series, and I had several people come up and saying, "I'm so glad you're sharing that, because that's been a desire in my heart," you know, which is wonderful. I mean, it's just God, is that right? Like, and I believe, like, many of you just got so impacted by the faith conference, which is awesome, and so there was that desire. I don't want to lose this. I don't want to go backwards. How are you going with that? Because if you're finding that maybe you're moving backwards a little bit, maybe not as much as you used to, maybe it's because you haven't really worked some of these things into your routine. Because this will keep you full of God all the time. And so how are you going with those first two that we've talked about over the last couple of weeks? Glorifying God and practicing thankfulness. Like, so basically in verse 21 it talks about they didn't glorify God, they weren't thankful, then they became depraved in their imagination, and finally their hearts became hardened. And so it shows this process where they go down. So then it just makes absolute sense that if we do the opposite, we can go up. If we do glorify God and we do practice thankfulness, and we harness our imagination for the kingdom of God, and we keep our hearts soft, of course it's going to be an upward cycle, like a constant upward spiral that we can experience. And so really, this is, Andrew Warmick's got a wonderful series that he preaches about this. And so this outline is something that the Lord really put on his heart and he shared, but I'm just using that and I've sort of put my own kind of meat on it and stuff. But it's really good. Hallelujah. So then, let me just recap the first two quickly, and then we're going to move on to part three. So glorify God. What does it mean to glorify God? It means we value what he values. When you become aware of something that's important to God, then it's important that you change the way you think so that that importance becomes an importance to you. right? And that's what it means to glorify God. To glorify God also means to magnify God above everything else. If you've got a magnifying glass and you use it, if you pull the glass towards you, it'll magnify whatever you're looking at the other end. To magnify God means you make him bigger in your view. It's not because God's actually small. The truth is he's huge. But we can often magnify our problem. And so it's like we've got the magnifying glass on our problem and God is so much bigger, but we haven't magnified him. Right? That's what David did. Remember when he faced Goliath? Everybody on that day saw a giant. The giant that David saw was God. Right? Because he was magnifying the Lord. That's why he was able to say, well, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? How dare he challenge the armies of the living God? And so to glorify God means we magnify him. We make him large in our vision. And we recalibrate. You know, it's important to constantly recalibrate. Like I felt like the Lord was doing that with us this morning. We were singing the song. And it's like, hey, we're singing Our God is Greater. Let's think about that. And then I shared with you that video that I'd seen just during that week of that lady. You know, like, it's important we realize, you know, like, even like what Jess and Andrew were sharing with the Jehovah Witness, like, we got resurrection power in us. Is that right? Yeah. See, sometimes we can have a week where it's just like, oh, man, I thought I had more faith than this. You know, like, I was really using my faith in this area and I didn't feel like I've made much ground. And sometimes we can allow that to get so big we forget how big God is. Yeah, I mean, things don't always happen the way I would like them to happen in my life, but I'm not going to allow it to get bigger than God. And I'm going to constantly recalibrate. And there will be times that you'll need to recalibrate too. So then number two is practicing thankfulness. And we looked at a couple of scriptures in 1 Thessalonians. It says, rejoice sometimes. Is that what it says? Always. To practice thankfulness, it says, rejoice always. And in fact, in Psalm 34, it says, oh, come, let us magnify the Lord. I will bless him at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. So to practice thankfulness means that it's got to be a regular part of our routine where we're just thankful. You will find that if you glorify God, you will naturally begin to thank him. Because one cascades into the next, and it builds a momentum. And you'll find if you're doing the first two, number three will naturally just begin to flow of its own accord. And it may take a little bit of effort. Some of the things I'll share with you will help you, but it'll naturally be working anyway, that your imagination is being harnessed for kingdom purposes, right? And so if you're finding that you're at times not thankful, it's probably because you're not really glorifying him. You're not valuing what he values, and you're not magnifying him. And so then last week we looked at some keys to being thankful. Develop an attitude of contentment. Don't allow what you don't have to spoil what you do have. And remind yourself of God's goodness. You know, they're things that certainly in my life, I have found them hugely helpful. Like even that last point, reminding yourself of God's goodness. There are things you can do. I gave some ideas last week and I'll give you some ideas even today. You don't have to do these, but find your own way of reminding yourself of God's goodness. If you're constantly remembering the goodness of God, you're going to be thankful. If you're constantly forgetting the goodness of God, you're not going to be thankful. And so there's ways that you can do it. You know, the kings would have books they would call the Chronicles of the Kings or Books of Remembrance. And in those chronicles or in those books were written all of the achievements of that kingdom. And the kings would get those books and have them read out to them. Why? Because they needed to be encouraged. And so sometimes they would remember the things that they would happen. And there's a story in the book of Esther where the king couldn't get to sleep, so he called one of the palace attendants. Go get the chronicle. Bring it. Read it to me. And he read it. And he read about how this man called Mordecai saved the king from two assassins who had infiltrated the palace and become part of the palace staff, but their desire was to slay the king, to kill him. And this man, Mordecai, uncovered their plot. And this story was read out. And the king said to the attendant, what's happened to this Mordecai? Has he been rewarded? And the attendant said, no, your majesty. And he said, that's wrong. What happened? He had a book of remembrance. That remembrance reminded him of something that he was saved from. And he thought, I've got to be thankful about that. It's a wonderful story. I'm not going to tell you. You can read it in your own time. It's in Esther chapter 6. It's awesome. But reminding yourself of God's goodness. And there's ways that I do that. I have several documents on my phone. They're on my tablet. They're synchronized. My computer, my tablet, my phone. So the moment I switch my phone on and open that document, it automatically syncs. And if I've typed up a whole bunch of stuff on my computer, it'll automatically update onto my tablet, my phone, the moment I open that document. And on that document, there are the four files I've got. One is a Thanksgiving page. I have one for every year. So I've got Thanksgiving 2019. That's the one I'm working on. And it is full. It's already just... The awesome thing about this document is there's no end. You can just keep adding pages and pages. And it's just I'm recording things, the good things that God has done that I do not want to forget. I've got another page, Thanksgiving 2018. Sometimes I'll open that and I'll read, oh yeah, Thanksgiving 2017, Thanksgiving 2016. It goes back and back and back. And so I can read any year things that God did that year for me. You don't think that's going to help me to be thankful? That's just one thing. I've got four documents. So there's another document I have that's called the encouragement document. And in that, I'll put things like if someone has sent me a message or an email or somehow communicated to me, maybe there was a message that I ministered to them and it really helped them and stuff, I want to put it in the encouragement thing. So I can read about the times where people have said, you know, when you said that, that was exactly what I needed to hear and this is what God did for me and that. I'll write that in my encouragement file. So then sometimes if I'm feeling discouraged, I open the encouragement file and I'll read those things. And then it's easy to get thankful. Thank you, God. Look at the difference that you're making in my life and it's helping others. I've got another file, it's prophetic words. That's what I call it, prophetic words. Anytime somebody's got a prophetic word that really ministers to me and grabs me, whether I understand or not, I write it in there. Do you know why a lot of Christians don't get a lot from God? Because they don't value what He's already given them. See, that comes to the first point, glorify God. Value what if you get a word from, like there's times where I've got Joel out and he's called some of you out, or I've had a word for you. What have you done about that? Can you even remember it? For a lot of people, like, oh yeah, what was it again? See, you don't value it. You're not glorifying God. I have a document and it's called prophetic words. I write down every prophecy that has really resonated with me. I'll write it down from years and years and years. And it builds this wonderful tapestry of a picture where I'm seeing, look at that. I remember that back in 2001, Lord. And that matches up with what you said in 2012 and then here and... And then I've got a fourth one, and it's a personal journal. I don't journal every day. I probably journal maybe once a week, maybe a couple of times a week, writing down things that God's stirring me up about. And often in my journal, it's like I don't have answers. It's like questions. Like, well, I kind of feel like this is what God's bringing my attention to, and I'll just kind of write it down. I feel like God's talking to me about this, but I'm not sure. Or it could be like, a dream I had. My journals are filled with dreams or visions. I had this or an experience I had, and I'll write it in my journal. So I'll read back over my journal about, you know, like oftentimes I'll read about an experience that I had. And I go, oh yeah, I remember that. Praise God! I'm so glad I wrote that. I don't want to forget that. Talking to you about how can you practice thankfulness? You've got to be deliberate about it. Because there are things in your life and in my life that demand your attention and will, if you keep giving in to the things in your life, the things of God will take last place. You have to be deliberate. If you want to stay full of God all the time, you have to be deliberate about setting some of these things in stone in your life. This is going to be part of my routine. You don't have to do what I've done. I'm just trying to give you ideas. But somehow or other, you've got to be constantly remembering his goodness, and then it helps you to be thankful. Somehow or other, you've got to be valuing what he values, and that's how you glorify him. Praise the Lord. Do I hear an amen? Amen. So I want to talk about number three then, harnessing your imagination, and how can that help us to be full of God all the time. So have a look there at verse 21 of Romans 1. I want to show you what it says there. So it says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. The King James Version for that phrase, futile in their thoughts, the King James Version says, they became vain in their imagination. The New American Standard says, they became futile in their speculation. The Amplified says they had vain imaginings, foolish reasoning, and stupid speculations. So this third point, people moved away from God, they stopped glorifying him, they stopped being thankful, and then they became futile in their speculations or their imagination or their thinking. And I want to talk particularly about our imagination. To stay full of God, you want to start harnessing your imagination. And really, if you're doing number one and two, you will find this will be a very easy thing to set in place, and you're probably already doing it to some extent. And so I just want to talk about the imagination and the power of our imagination. Why has God given that? There's so much I could say about it. Sometimes I feel like, where do I start with this? But, you know, we use our imagination all the time. The imagination is not something that's just for children. And that, like, you're an adult now, so you don't need it anymore. No. You use your imagination more than you even realize. And it is a powerful, powerful weapon that God has given us to engage with him. And I think you'll see that as we kind of explore this. Hey, your imagination and your thoughts are very closely linked. All right. For example, if I said to you, how many entrances are there to your house? I don't think anybody could tell me off the cuff what the answer is to that. But probably right now, as I'm talking, you're already there at your house. How'd you get there? In your imagination. And you're picturing, there's the front door, there's the back door, sliding door, the garage. And you're starting to name, you're going around. How can you do that? It's only through your imagination that you can do that. We use our imagination all the time. If I said to you, how do I get to the airport? You know, straight away you're going to go, if you don't have an imagination, you can't tell. So you'll start thinking in your imagination now, okay, so when you go out of here, go left, get to Big Gun Butchers, turn right, you've got to get onto the M1. And then when you go along, find the gateway exit and get onto the gate. And it's like, if you haven't crossed a big bridge called the Gateway Bridge, you've gone the wrong way. And you just do different things. If you've never been to the airport or you're not someone who drives, you probably won't be able to help someone. You'll probably say, look, just use Google Maps, mate, that's what I do. But it's our imagination that enables us to go from A to B if we've been there before. If you've never been somewhere before, you can't use your imagination to tell anyone. And it's only your imagination that can then be conveyed. You're looking, you're telling them. Now look out for, if when you see the big white building, you turn right at that. And then when you see that bridge, after that bridge, it's the second exit or whatever it is. And so it's through that. We use our imagination just all the time. My mum loves gardening, and ever since I was a kid, she would love gardening, and she used to try to give me a love for gardening. I never sort of picked it up, but she would go out there, and she would work the garden. She would buy this satchel of seeds, and she would plant those seeds, and she would leave the satchel there where she planted, and then as that plant grew, she would then tie it to the plant. And the reason she did that is because the satchel had a picture of the plant. I didn't understand why she was doing that. You know, like, I guess I never thought about it because it didn't interest me, but I understand now. It's not because it helped her to say, oh, okay, so these ones are the tulips and that one's the roses. No, she could tell the difference, right, because she loved gardening, but she loved keeping the satchel because, do you notice the satchels, even if you're not a gardener, the satchels always have the best pictures. Like if it's a satchel of rose seeds, it'll have a picture of roses, and they're not like gangly, half-dead roses, are they? They're going to put like an awesome, you know, high-definition picture, you know, like really showing beautiful roses. And my mum would leave them there, and she probably didn't even realize why she was doing that, but it's like she was wanting that to be the end product. And it's like she's harnessing her imagination. That every time she goes past that plant, that's where I'm heading. That's where I'm going. That's what I'm going to have in my garden. You know? And so our imaginations just play just a vital, vital role in our life. You know, some of the greatest advancements that we've experienced in technology have come as a result of people who've just harnessed their imagination. Anybody heard of R.G. Letourneau? Oh, man. He is awesome. R.G. Letourneau. Yep. Amazing, amazing man. Great man of God, too. He was the son of missionary parents. And he had a love for God ever since childhood. And when he came into adulthood, you know, like in his late teens and early 20s, his whole desire was to serve God on the mission field like his parents had. And as he was preparing himself for the mission field, it became really clear as he spent time with God that the Lord said, that's not where I've called you. And he was heartbroken. It's like somebody had shattered his dream because he just wanted to serve God. And he saw the highest call was to serve God in the mission field. And God was saying, that's not what I want you to do. That's not what I've called you to do. And it took him months to recover from that, just thinking like, God, what am I going to do? Like, what is it that you want me to do? He knew he was hearing from God, but he was just so... And the Lord began to say to him, I've got something else. I've got another path for you. And he said, I'm going to raise you up and you are going to pour finances into sending missionaries. You're going to do more in the mission outreach than you ever will do if you went as a missionary. And he did. He sent multiply. I'm talking about this is over 100 years ago. He sent multiplied millions of dollars. Back then, a million was a lot of money. And he sent multiplied millions to support missionaries all around the world. He set up a university. I'm still up to this day in Texas, called Letourneau University. He actually, at one stage, he just got in a competition. He thought he was going to try to outgive God. He lost. He tried to give away his fortune multiple times. Tried to give it away. I'm not sure if he was a billionaire back then, but if he wasn't, he would have been really close. But he had hundreds of millions at the very least back 100 years ago. And just... But he, he's heartbroken and he's not going to go into the mission field, but he had this analytical mind that he never paid much attention to. And he got a job as an apprentice in some sort of mechanical workshop. And just his analytical mind would just go to work and he would think of ways of doing the same job, but quicker, more effectively, more efficiently. And his boss just began to promote him because he was saving his boss like fistfuls of money, you know, finding these innovative ways of doing the same thing. And so then he just began to expand and he became more confident. And what he's most famous for is actually earth-moving equipment. He's known as the father of earth-moving equipment. In the Second World War, 70% of the United States Army's earth-moving equipment came from R.G. Letourneau. So he wasn't just some sort of backyard, you know, chemist or something like that. He had a real impact. And He would. So I'm talking about imagination, and I wanted to sort of give this illustration. His imagination would go wild. They would come to him with a problem, and they'd say, "Well, we want to do this, but we don't seem to have anything that can really do it. Can you help us?" So he would say, "Leave it with me." And he would just think about it, and he would talk to the Lord about it, and he would go to sleep, and he would just allow his imagination to take him, and he would come up with the most innovative engineering answers to questions. He's the guy that developed the bulldozer that Caterpillar is very famous for and stuff. He developed many, many different earth-moving equipment and became very wealthy. But it was his imagination that enabled him to do that. Nikola Tesla is another guy. Andrew and I like to talk about Nikola Tesla. Had over 100 unique patents of inventions that he made. He was a man just ahead of his time. He lived in the late 1800s, and he developed a remote control before they had the technology for it. You know, he developed. In fact, if he didn't develop, he developed the alternating current technology. And if he didn't develop that, we'd still be using lamps, because all they had was just Thomas Edison's DC electricity, which is highly inefficient and could not light up a city. It could only light up a very small area, a very small neighborhood. Albert Einstein is another one. He actually said imagination is more important than knowledge. So these people, Tesla and Letourneau and Einstein, all understood the power of their imagination. In fact, they said to Einstein, they said, "How did you develop this theory of relativity?" He said, "I just imagined that I was sitting on a beam right at the front of a beam of light, and I was traveling on that beam." And he said, "Everything that I got about the theory of relativity came as a result of what I imagined in that experience." Your imagination is the doorway into God's unlimited power, hey? And it's so important, hey? You can't perceive extreme concepts without the use of your imagination. Can you imagine $1 billion? $1 billion. It's really hard. Like, it's just a number. 1 billion. Yeah, okay, it's a big number. But you don't give it credit. You don't understand how big a number that is. If you had $1 billion, you could pay yourself $10,000 every day for 273 years before it would run out. And in fact, if you got that $1 billion and you just put it into the most basic savings account at any bank that gave you a measly 2% interest, you'd never run out. You could pay yourself 10 grand a day for thousands of years if you could live that long, and you'd have more as a result. But see, it's our imagination that can help us maybe try to get our fingers around, like, what is that? How is that? And as I'm telling you that, you're starting to perceive and imagine, oh, okay, wow, that is a lot of money then. That's just not just a number. It's like, wow, 10 grand a day, like, really? For all my life? You get all your life easily. You wouldn't even have scratched the surface. You would have probably only taken, like, maybe 20% or 15% of the money. Hallelujah. So our imagination is just, it's so important. It's the doorway into God's unlimited power. Hey, how can you picture the infinite? You can't, not with your logical mind. If I said to you, all right, explain to me space. How is space never ending? You can't logically explain that. There's no logic that can explain that. Any infinite concept is, but the imagination can begin to touch it. Eternity. How can you understand eternity? It's only with the imagination you can begin to get a handle and a grasp on it. And so that's why Paul in Ephesians 1, he prayed that the eyes of your imagination would be opened. Why did he pray that? Because it's only when your imagination, when the eyes of your imagination are opened, that's when you begin to see God's unlimited power in your life and in my life. Do I hear an amen? Amen. That's why the disciples couldn't see how to feed the multitude. Do you remember when the multitude were there And they said, look, just send them away. They haven't eaten for a few days. And Jesus just said, you give them something to eat. And like they're thinking, like, us? Where are we going to get that much food? Even if we had 200 denarii, that wouldn't buy enough food. Like, what? What happened? See, they were staying in their logical mind. In fact, in John, Jesus actually said he said this to test them because he knew what he was going to do. And then he tried to give them like a kind of a cue to maybe a hint of what the answer is. Like, they were going like, there's no way we could feed all these people. And he said, go and find out how much food we got. Because he's hoping. Hinty hint. Have you discovered that God can take not enough and make it into more than enough? Hey. But it's only with the imagination that you can begin to move there. Because if you go into your logical mind, that's why people struggle with tithing. Because they stay in their logical mind. I've got all of these commitments, and if I give this, I won't have enough. You'll never be able to tithe if you stay in your logical mind. How can you increase when you give? That's why Proverbs even says there is one who scatters and yet increases. And there's one who withholds what he knows he should give and it results in lack. That makes no sense to the logical mind. And so the imagination enables us to go into these places. Jesus was easily able to feed the 5,000 because he was harnessing his imagination. He could see this little boy's lunch, but that's more than enough. What do we got? 5 loaves, 2 fish? Bring it to me. Yep. Get everybody to sit down. Let's do this. And so that can work for us as well. Have a look at Luke chapter 10. I want to show you the significance of your imagination, what Jesus had to say about it. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. So it says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you have answered rightly, do this and you will live. So notice Jesus said, you've given the right answer. What was the answer this man gave? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. So what is the heart? To love God with all your heart. Well, the heart can mean the spirit of a man, but it can also mean other things. In this context, it's meaning your spirit. Love God with all your heart, or your spirit, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's your physical capability. Is that right? So spirit, soul, body. That's the three aspects of man. Right? But he doesn't just say that, does he? Because he says, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your what? Why did he say that? Isn't the mind part of the soul? It is. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, your emotions. So if we've said, love God with all your heart, that's your spirit. With all your soul, that's your mind, will, and emotions. And with all your strength, that's your body, spirit, soul, body. We've covered everything. So why say, and with all your mind after that? And Jesus said, yeah, that's it. That's exactly it. Do that and you'll live. Why did he say that? Because that word mind is not really talking about your ability to think. The word mind that's used there is the Greek word dianoia. And it literally means imagination. And it should have been translated imagination. Love God with all your spirit, with all your soul, with all your body, and with all your imagination. We're talking about how to stay full of God all the time, and the third one is about harnessing your imagination. And you need to understand the significance that God places on your imagination. That He wants you to submit your imagination just like you submit your heart, your soul, and your strength. He wants you to submit your imagination to Him as well, and to love Him with all of your imagination. How can we love God with our imagination? We harness it. We harness it for his purposes. We begin to use our imagination. Do you notice how the devil loves to get us to harness our imagination for all the wrong things? That's why pornography is such a problem, particularly for men. It's a problem. There is a pornography for women as well. The pornography for women is not the pictures. It's often in the romance novels or the magazines or these different articles that kind of take them in their imagination. But the idea is exactly the same. It's to harness your imagination to picture some things that God doesn't want you to picture. And why does the enemy want it? Because he understands how powerful the imagination is. And if he can disable you, if he can just stain it so deeply and ingrain those things into you that you find it difficult to move out of that, he's succeeded. He has rendered you useless in that area. And you find it so difficult to tap in to the infinite power of God because your imagination just ain't going there. And that's why in the first commandment, just there, that what we've just read, that's why Jesus said to the man, that's exactly right. Love God with all your spirit, with all your soul, with all your body, and with all your imagination. And the way we do that is by harnessing it for the kingdom. When you begin to harness your imagination, whether it's for good or bad, it will affect the way you feel, and it'll affect the way you perform or the way you behave. I'll give you a simple illustration. You tell your kids, we're going to go to the beach today. What's their reaction? All of a sudden, there's this brightness, this countenance. Like, really? Yep, we're going to go today. Come on, let's get our stuff. Go get your togs. Go get your towel. We're going to go to the beach today. We're going to have barbecue down there. We're going to have some fun. What happens? The way they feel and the way they act has all of a sudden taken up a notch. Is that right? Because they're seeing themselves at the beach. They're seeing themselves with mum and dad. They're seeing themselves at the barbecue. They're seeing themselves doing the things that they love doing. And they're already there in their imagination. As far as they're concerned, this is a done deal. Mum and dad said, we're going. Your imagination has a direct impact on the way you feel and the way you behave. That's why you want to harness it for the kingdom of God. Because it impacts the way you feel and the way you behave. Person, you know, like in Romans 1:21, it talked about how they stopped glorifying God, they stopped becoming thankful, and they became vain in their imagination. A vain imagination is a negative way of thinking, a negative way of picturing things, and it's a surefire way to drift away from God. Hey, if you start having negative thoughts, you're going to find your imagination will be negative. Oh. And it's just so difficult at work, you know, like, I mean, it's just not a lot of fun. My boss is just so hard on me, you know, just can't cut a break. And what are you doing? As you're thinking and talking about that, you're going in your imagination and you're reliving that scenario. And it affects the way you feel and it affects the way you behave. Some people see nothing good in their imagination. And so what happens? They don't expect anything good to happen in their life. I wonder if you got a note or a message your boss wants to see you straight away. What do you think? For some people, it's like, what have I done? Well, guess what? You need to change that because your imagination is harnessed in a negative bent. You've gone for your local checkup, your annual checkup or whatever it is, and normally you see the doctor the next week, and the next morning they call and they say, the doctor wants to see you. What do you think? Where does your imagination go? I'm trying to give you some ideas of how the enemy tries to harness our imagination in the wrong way. We see some irregular behavior with our kids, and we start extrapolating. Isn't that how the devil loves to do it? We feel like something happening in our body. We think, what's that? Cancer? Brain tumor? You know, we think all of these things. Because he's trying to harness our imagination in the wrong way. And so We need to understand that we want to harness our imagination for the kingdom of God. If you find yourself beginning to think and picture a wrong result, catch yourself, stop yourself, find something in the Word of God that combat, because there is something in the Word of God to combat every worry and every fear, and begin to speak that over your life. God, you're a good God. You're faithful. You'd never abandon me. Things are not going to go wrong in my life. I'm going to go up and on, up and on, up and on. I'm going to go from victory to victory. I don't know which way I'm going to go through this, but I know you know, and I'm just following you. I'm going to listen to you. And by the time I finish, this test will become a testimony. You don't think that's going to help you start to picture positive things that you're speaking that? And so begin to harness your imagination. I wonder what sort of impact it would have on your life if you began to picture God's promise coming to pass. What if you began to harness your imagination that way? Hands up if God has given you a promise that has not yet manifested. Could be a promise about your family, could be a promise about a job, or could be a promise about your health or something. I want you to think about that promise just for a moment. Imagine if that happened today. Imagine if that promise came to pass today. Now don't get in, well, I don't know how that's going to happen. Don't worry about that. You don't have to work out. I'm just saying, use your imagination. Imagine if that happened today. What would it look like? What would it feel like if that came to pass today? I wonder how you would behave. I want you to close your eyes just for a minute. We're just going to just continue on this vein just for a moment. Hey, I want you to see that promise coming to pass today. Picture it in full high definition, actually ultra high definition. What do you see? What do you see in your imagination with that promise? What does it look like? How would you feel? What do you imagine you would feel? Answer that question in your imagination. If that was happening today, what change would it make on your life? What change could it make maybe in your family or your work? Okay, open your eyes. I don't want you to fall asleep. I was in a meditation class one time. I was in a high school. We went on a camp and they decided to teach us. This teacher was going to teach us relaxation techniques. Well, it really worked because I fell asleep. So it was awesome. But what did you see? Can I, just from those who are able to share and willing to share, I know that some things that maybe God's promised you could be a personal thing and I don't want you to share, but for those of you that kind of feel okay, can anybody share? What did you see? What did it feel like? And
I saw a world set free from poverty, everyone living in prosperity
and all kinds of things. Yep, yeah. And could you imagine how you felt as a result of that? Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Anybody else? What did you see and what did you feel with what you imagined? Hands up if you were able to do that. Were you able to do that? Okay. Does anybody else want to share? You don't have to if you don't want to. Last chance. Yep. Yeah.
Just feeling really happy about giving
my
wallet
from that thing.
Yep. It's
awesome.
It felt
freedom.
It felt so free.
Yep. Yeah. So a real freedom, yeah. Probably a freedom from a burden too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Deb, were you going to say something?
I want to share what.
Yeah, you don't have to share what it is. Yeah, yeah. Now, I don't want you to put your hand up unless you agree with what I'm about to share. So don't put your hand up just for the sake of putting your hand up. But with regard to that exercise, I was talking about something that God has promised you that has not yet manifested. I want you to put your hand up again if you do believe God has promised you something that has not yet manifested. Okay, so then if you would, like, can you see just with that exercise, by using your imagination, it can take you to a place and it impacts the way you feel. Why can't you live like that? That's what it means to harness our imagination, because it's based on something God promised you. It's not based on some fanciful idea that you've got. You put your hand up and you said, that's what God promised you. So if God has promised you that, why can't you harness your imagination to see that come to pass and let that infiltrate your feelings and infiltrate the way you think and the way you talk and the way you walk? We can do this in every area of our life. You know, the more I see myself successful, the more I find myself successful. I'll give you a really simple illustration. It's kind of connected with imagination. And it was when I was a little boy. I was a teenager. And I was out the back and I had this tennis ball and I was throwing it against the wall and I was catching it and I was playing kind of a little bit of handball just by myself. And then probably about from here to the wall, there was the garage. And there was a garage window that was there and it was open about that much. But I could see through the window because it's just clear glass. And my older brother was in the garage. And we had like a billiard table in there, so he was obviously playing some billiards or something. And this thought just suddenly came to my mind. I don't know where it came from. But it's just this thought came to my mind. I can throw that tennis ball through that window and hit my brother in the head. And so I was probably, you know, like, I don't know, how far is that? Probably 7 or 8 meters? Probably that far. Maybe I was 10 meters, maybe a little bit further. And so the window's open like that much. So it was wide enough for a tennis ball to go through. But like, it's just like, and that thought came. And the moment that thought came, I saw it in my imagination. I saw myself throwing that tennis ball and it going through that window and hitting him on the head. And there was just like, yeah. There was just like, there was not a single doubt. And before I even thought about, is this a wise thing to do? Which I probably should have thought. Don't do this if you've got an older brother, okay? I threw it through that window and it hit him on the head. And it's like, I just fell to the floor and was laughing because it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. But believe you me, he got the last laugh. Hey, after that, I learned some lessons from that. But I remember, like, after I recovered from the beating he gave me and stuff, I had the tennis ball in my hand and he'd gone, and I thought, man. And I'm looking at the window and I'm standing back where I was, and I thought, that was so easy. I thought, I'm going to do that again. But now I'm not thinking about how easy it is. I'm thinking about, dude, you better not hit it. If you hit that window, you're going to smash it. Like, look how small it is. And I'm looking at all the things. I could not get it. I had several attempts until eventually I nearly broke the window, so I stopped having attempts. And I couldn't do it again because I couldn't see it in my imagination. I saw all the problems. Are you hearing what the Lord's saying? We need to harness our imagination. If you want to stay full of God all the time, you want to be harnessing your imagination in line with the things He's promised you. And seeing those things. And there will be times where the enemy will attack you and try to put things in your imagination that are the opposite. And you're going to have to slay those things and resurrect that promise of God and say, no, God, this is what you've said to me, not that other thing. I'm going to come through this. My family's going to come through this. I'm going to be fine. I'm going to have an awesome God story to share as a result of this. And see those things come to pass. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God's word will build pictures in your imagination. Hey, things that He wants to bring to pass in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Did you get something out of that?
Yeah.